Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I'm the founder of the turnkey real estate company called Morris Invest. We're a full-service company. So not only do we build properties from the ground up, we work with our property management team to place tenants in those properties that they are cash-flowing assets for many, many years to come. And on these Q&A episodes, I like to answer questions that you provide to us, and we try to do three of them in one particular episode. You can always leave me a voicemail question by just going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Try to keep your voicemail messages to like 30 seconds or less. That way we can be concise and get right to the heart of the question. So we've got some great questions today. Our first one is from Deanna, and a question about getting inspections on properties. Let's listen to Deanna's question.
I am looking at investing, and I want to know how you go about doing your own inspection on a property. Is that a possibility, especially, and would you recommend it on a new construction property? I mean, I know it's your own company, but how do I go, can I, and how do I go about doing that, getting an inspection on a property? Thanks.
Well, thank you, Deanna. Well, if you're getting an inspection on, like if you're working with us at Morris Invest, you absolutely should get an inspection on the property. We work with third-party inspectors, so we don't own the inspection companies. They're third-party inspection companies that will provide a full inspection on the new construction property. So that's definitely something that you want to do so that you can make sure that you have a sound investment and that there's nothing that's needs to be fixed or someone forgot to put an outlet cover on an outlet that happens from time to time. That's why you have an inspection. So they can go through and make sure that the electrical is working in the new construction property, make sure that the plumbing is all set up and running the way that it should be, make sure that the electrical, make sure that the heating, all of that stuff is working as flawlessly as it can. They'll look at the new systems. They'll look at the brand new furnace. They'll look at the pumps in the house. They'll look at everything to make sure everything is working as it should. So it's very easy to do is, you know, if you're not working with us, you always want to find just, I would say, go to Craigslist or look in the yellow pages online or locally to find an inspection company, a reputable inspection company. So before you buy any rental property, you absolutely want to get an inspection on that property. Give them a call, have them come out, make sure that you schedule this with the seller of the property. If you're buying it from them, schedule at a time when they can go out. If you want to go and meet with the inspector while they're there on the property, absolutely, you can do that as well. But they're going to go through and they're going to look at all of the systems, they'll look at the roof, they'll look at the windows, they'll look at the heating, the insulation, the electrical, the plumbing. All of those things are part of that process. So I would encourage anybody who's buying an investment property absolutely to do that. Now, I know during this crazy housing market that we've had on the retail side, you hear about bidding wars taking place where people are like, for instance, my mom was selling her house as is. She lived in it for 30 years. My father passed away about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and it needed a lot of work. And she's like, I'm not doing any of this work. I just need to sell it as is. I'm not going to redo the bathroom. And she got, there was like 8 offers on this property. It was in a great school district, the school district I grew up in. And it sold, but she sold it as is. And they waived an inspection. Like that's what happens on the retail side. On the investment side, you know, you should not waive an inspection. Like if you're buying an investment, that you are going to hold for the rest of your life, and you're going to cash flow this, placing tenants in the property, get an inspection. Like, that should be a part of the process. Like, we would do that at our company. That's something that's part of our whole process. And besides, if you're going to get a loan on the property, you know, if you're going to have financing also from a bank, they're going to look at they're going to do their own inspections. They're going to do their own appraisal. So you're going to have multiple eyeballs on this property. Not only will you have the bank doing their own eyeballs, you have an inspection. Yes, I would get all of that. Do your due diligence. Absolutely. Make sure you have an inspection. Get an appraisal from your bank. If you're getting your bank will do that on its own because they're not going to lend money on something that they don't think is valuable. But yes, always get an extra set of eyeballs, because unless you know what you're looking for structurally and electrically and plumbing and plumbingly, then you need to hire someone to do that. And that can cost like $150 to $200. It's not a big cost. So thank you, Deanna, for that question. Okay, our next question comes to us from Rosalinda.
I am interested in multifamily investments, not large apartments, but like duplex, fourplex, and maybe up to 12 units apartments. Can you please comment on the investment value of that versus single family homes for rent? Thank you.
Thank you, Rosalinda, for that question on larger multifamilies. So let's be clear, if you're buying something up to four units, one, two, three, four, that's considered residential property, okay? Anything beyond that, five units and more is commercial property, and that it falls in a different category. You're going to have much longer time to close on the property, anywhere from 60 to 90 days to close on that property. You're going to work with a commercial lender. You'll work with a commercial broker to find the property. Typically, when you're dealing with those larger properties, you're not, getting a deal. The reason you're not getting a deal in this current market, and this is me speaking to a lot of my larger multifamily investor friends over the years, they've really moved more towards the duplex and single family model because it is almost impossible to find those larger apartment complexes that they can then add value to. See, when an investor is looking to buy a 50 unit or 20 unit apartment complex, what that investor is looking to do is add value to the property. So when that person buys that property, they want to see, okay, this guy owned it for 10 years. He did not add a pool. He didn't add a gaming room. He didn't even add a laundry facility on the property. It needs painting. The furnaces are out of date. The fixtures are old. Great. I'm going to buy this thing. Right now, it's producing at about 3-4% return on investment right now, net cash on cash return. So if I put in these additional amenities, add a pool, add a gaming room, add all of these things, I will be able to increase rents now, right? Add value. Now I'll be able to bring higher rents, and therefore I might start cash flowing instead of 3-4% a year, maybe 6-7%, because I've added that much value to the property. Okay. Well, those are hard to find because I've heard this directly from a lot of my large multifamily investor friends, specifically Ken McElroy, who is one of the Rich Dad Advisors and author of the ABCs of Real Estate Investing. He's a big multifamily investor. He's been sitting on cash because he's like, I'm just not buying any of the large apartment complexes right now because I just cannot find them at a good value. He can find stuff at like a 2% return and it's not worth it to him. And so you have to be able to add value to those properties. And when you're buying those types of properties, you're going to be buying them from other investors. Like that house is not just sitting there. A 12 unit is not sitting there owned by my mom. She's owned it for 30 years. And she's just like, I'm going to move now. I'm moving into a retirement home. So I'm going to sell this property to Rosalinda. Right? No, it's an investor that's going to sell it to Rosalinda, who's owned it as part of a portfolio of properties, very, very likely. It's a different type of investment. So I'm not a fan of larger multifamily stuff. I just don't own any. And to me, the value is in those single families, duplex properties that I sort of treat duplexes like single families because the ones that we build are pretty large. So they almost look like single families and tenants tend to stay a long time in those properties. That's the other piece of this, that when you're dealing with larger multifamily units, they're more transient. Tenants don't tend to stay as long. They don't nest and stay there long term. Like a family doesn't move into a one bedroom apartment and get excited about it and stay there for many, many years. It doesn't happen. It will happen, though, in a larger three bedroom duplex with a backyard and their own driveway and their own entrance, and they're in the best school district. They're going to stay there for many years. So that's why I like single families. That's why I like duplexes, because of that very reason. So, you know, just some things to consider. I know there are a lot of multifamily investors out there, but typically it's just way more expensive. You're having to typically partner with other people. And at the end of the day, it's going to be very difficult to find the right times, the right kind of property that you can add value to. But I would say give it a shot, Rosalinda. Like if you're interested in that, call, look for a commercial broker. Okay, a commercial real estate broker, and let them know that you're interested in finding a 12 unit or a 10 unit and that you want to be able to add value to it. They're going to have to show you a rent roll, make sure that the tenant statements are up to date, all of those things. You're going to want to see the financials of the property. That's why the closing time, 60 to 90 days, is typical, because you've got to do a lot of due diligence on this property. You've got to confirm all of the rent rolls. You've got to do your inspections, making sure that all of the systems work properly, et cetera, et cetera. So just more of a, personally, just much more of a headache, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Again, I am not a financial advisor. So I'm a real estate investor, and this is what I like. I like to invest in single families and duplexes. You know, your mileage may vary. Okay. Thank you for that question. Deep one there. Today's episode is brought to you by rCrowd. Do you wish you were in early on some of the best performing IPOs of 2019 and 2020? Well, rCrowd investors were, and now you can join them in what's next. With rCrowd, accredited investors have access to invest directly, easily, and most importantly, early. rCrowd investors have benefited from rCrowd companies IPOing like Beyond Meat, or being in early in companies like Intel or Nike or Microsoft and Oracle. rCrowd investment professionals leverage their extensive network to review some of the most promising private companies and startups in the world. Now, if you're an accredited investor, you can join rCrowd for free at OurCrowd. That's rcrowd.com/Clayton. That's me. You have to use that. You have to use that URL. And you can review the current deals just by going to rcrowd.com/Clayton. No payment is involved until you decide to participate in a deal. And as you review the deals, you can have access to rCrowd's investor relations team. You can hop on the phone with them and talk about your investment goals. Now you can invest in Consumer Physics, which is a company that's developed the first portable lab-grade device that can analyze material at a molecular level, helping farmers boost production, improve efficiency, and minimize waste on their farms. Consumer Physics has grown revenue 100% year over year and is used by over 50 global enterprise customers. You can invest today at rCrowd. rCrowd's accredited investors have already invested over $1 billion in growing tech companies. Join the fastest growing venture capital investment community at rcrowd.com/Clayton. All right, our next one is from Jeannie, I believe. Jeannie has a question here about, should she invest or pay off debt? Let's listen to Jeannie.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Jeannie. My question is this. I have one liability, which is my home, my mortgage, which I just refinanced about 2 months ago at a 2.7% interest And I don't have any car loans or payments. I don't have any credit card debt. I pay those down at the end of every month. I don't have student loans. I also invest in stocks. I just started crypto, very small, just dabbling in Doge. But my question is, every month, fortunately, I am fortunate enough to put away a good amount of my salary into savings, which I know, according to your morning invest, you know, don't do that. But my question is, should I take the money that I have extra at the end of each month and pay down my mortgage, or do I invest with it? You know, I've always been told that you want your money to work for you. So if you're paying down your mortgage, it's not really doing anything other than, and obviously paying down your mortgage, which isn't a bad thing, but is it better to invest, buy something, you know, put it in the stock market and hopefully, you know, you make some money off of that. So that's my question. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. So really great questions there. And I think you kind of, in some ways, you already answered your question, right? Which is you want your money to work for you, don't you? And so if your money is paying down a liability that you're living in and it's not cash flowing, then it's not working for you, right? Which is one of the reasons that I argue against even buying the house that you live in, because that's a liability. Now, unless you're living in a duplex and you're renting out one side of it, then that's a cash flowing asset and the tenant on the other side is paying for your mortgage. So we're beyond that. You own your own house. Okay. Now, how do we turn that into a performing asset? Now, I wrote a whole book on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years or less. It's on Amazon. Get the one with the blue cover. If you do buy it, it's a short read. It's about 110 pages. You'll read it in one night. Got over 700 five-star reviews. So go check it out on Amazon. It's how to pay off. It's only $4.99. How to pay off your mortgage in 5 years using a strategy the banks don't want you to know about. And in there, we talk about the strategy of going after your mortgage using a couple of different tools, in your tool belt. But I'm of the opinion that yes, you can do both. So my answer is yes, Jeannie, you can. Yes. You can both pay off your mortgage, okay, at the same time you're also investing. Now, but I would caution you as to what you're investing in. So if you're able to put money aside and you're able to put money towards like a down payment, for instance, like I always use my properties that we build at Morris Invest as a template. So forgive me, but that's what I know. We build 600 properties. We work with clients. I know these numbers inside and out. So when you buy one of our new construction properties, rental properties, you know, you're going to need about $40,000-$45,000 down payment. Okay. And then we have financing built in with the banks for the rest. So now to come to the table with like 40 or 45 that you've saved up gives you a cash flowing asset in your portfolio. Cash flow now coming in. Now imagine doing that again. The cash flow comes in, you're still saving some money, but you're also paying down your primary mortgage a little bit using my strategy, which is to kind of put a big chunk of money at a time towards that principal balance to reduce your overall timeline. Then you continue to put money down, save money up, and then have another down payment, buy another rental property. Now, before you know it, you have three or four properties. So look, again, I don't know how much you have to work with. And if you're just putting like 2,000, 1,000 here, 1,000 there, and Dogecoin you mentioned, and some other things, great. I mean that's some small savings right now that you're kind of building up and playing with in the stock market and things like that. Fine, you know, fine. But I would also think about this primary residence. You know, there is an argument to be made to no, don't pay it down at all. Like 2.7% interest. If you don't plan on leaving your job and you've got the income and you're going to stay there for many years, don't pay that off yet. Or maybe just make one extra payment and then use that extra cash towards buying other performing assets. And I'm not talking the stock market. Stock market is not a performing asset, okay? Those are paper assets. So if it were in my situation, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do with your money. But if it were me, I would be trying to pay down my mortgage as much as I could. That made sense. But I'd be taking some of that cash and putting it towards buying other real estate, cash flowing real estate. If it were also my situation, I would also look at the equity that I have in that primary residence. Remember, you cannot eat equity. So that house might be sitting on $100,000 in equity. Well, guess what? $100,000 in equity is virtually, if you got a home equity line of credit, that's like two down payments on rental properties. So you could literally do like 40 and 40, 45 and 45 and buy two rental properties that are cash flowing. And now you could pretend like you don't even own those properties. And that cash flow you could use literally to fire at your primary balance of your mortgage. So now you've added to your net worth with two additional properties and you're using the cash flow that you don't need right now because you're young and you know that cash, you don't need it. Pretend like you don't even have it, like you got a raise and you didn't even notice you had it. And use that cash flow to fire it at your primary balance of your mortgage on your property that you own. Or don't, right? Or take that cash flow from those two new properties that you now own and you know, build up that next nest egg of a down payment and then buy a third property and then a fourth. And then don't ever pay off your primary mortgage, you know, pay it off in 30 years when the bank, at the end of the day, the bank let you buy a property, okay, with their money at 2.7%, which by the way is virtually 0% interest when you account for inflation, zero. So it's up to you if you want to try to convert that into a performing asset by using a home equity line of credit, fire a little bit at it. But I'm giving you all the options here. I'm not giving you one answer because I really want, it's a personal decision. So I think you need to sit down and figure this out on yourself, by yourself, you know, like what would you be comfortable with? And then go from there. But there's a couple of different strategies. I hope that at least we've sparked some curiosity in you. You know, again, read the book. We'll have a link in the show description for you to go check out our book on how to pay off your mortgage in 5 years. I think there's some strategies in there. It's been an updated version for some of the new tax laws as well. So it's current, it's up to date. The blue cover, not the yellow one. The yellow one's the older one. And hopefully that'll help you on this path. Thank you for some great questions on our Q&A episode. If you'd like to ask a question, remember, try to keep them to 30 seconds or less. That way we can be very concise in our questions and answers. By going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton is how you can leave us a voicemail message. And we'll be back here next time, everyone. Now go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.
Done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.